Well, welcome and thanks for tuning in to this video. And we just want to make sure that we have Dr. Ron Grisanti here on the phone with us. Ron, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. Well, thanks again, for coming and tuning into this video. What we wanted to do in this video is to immediately convey to you what we mean by functional diagnostic medicine. We want to crystallize this new paradigm in healthcare. So we want to enlighten you into the new movement that is going to allow you to be able to handle and deal with your chronic cases to a higher level of efficiency and effectiveness than you have ever been able to do before. We want to enlighten you to the enormous potential that functional diagnostic medicine has to help thousands and thousands of patients, and also to show you how you can sort of tap into this untapped market, because as you'll see in a few minutes, millions of people are searching for the clues and answers to their problems. We want to make a few things clear to you first. Functional diagnostic medicine is far greater than the sum of its parts. And by that we mean there are obviously parts of functional diagnostic medicine that you're going to be familiar with. We all take histories, and hopefully we all do physical exams, and we all do, to a certain extent, some lab testing. And we all do treatment. For a lot of you, that treatment is going to be nutrition, or it might be botanical medicine, or it might be chiropractic techniques, or it might be even muscle testing. Whatever it is that you do, functional diagnostic medicine as a system of practicing medicine and healthcare goes way beyond all of those. Because what we're really trying to convey to you is this thinking process that goes behind. And that's why this headline here says, functional diagnostic medicine is about becoming the ultimate medical detective. And this whole concept of the medical detective was coined by you, Ron, I believe. And so I'd love for you to sort of take an opportunity right now to talk about what we call the CSI approach and how that relates to functional diagnostic medicine.
Thanks, Dick. What's interesting is this all started a number of years ago when I was working in my office and actually doing a consultation with a patient. And the patient looked at me and said, you're like a medical detective. And I started thinking to myself, I said, that's interesting, because that's really what this is all about. It's really being able to crack the case. And, the challenge that we have I'm a chiropractic physician for 27 years, and the interesting thing about it is that, we have these different tools. As a chiropractor, we have this ability to utilize chiropractic techniques. And people who are doing applied kinesiology, muscle testing, people who are doing nutrition, these are different tools. But what's interesting is that it's one component. And I don't know about you guys, but there must be people out there listening. I know it's happened to me thousands of times when you have a patient where you're treating and you have this particular technique that you use and you find out that the patient is just not responding. And this is in no way, and Dick and I will tell you, this is in no way putting down muscle testing, chiropractic technique, or anything else. It's just part of looking at the whole picture. And what this CSI issue, this topic is, you see these TV programs, and what these guys are doing, they're looking at everything. They're not just looking at fingerprints. They're looking at the whole, all the little clues that can help them identify what exactly happened in that particular case. And, as a physician, as you can see, what we're doing is we're looking to take these assessment tools that we have, and that's what the beauty of functional diagnostic medicine is. It allows you to take a number of different key tools to be able to crack the case. I go back to that. And what we're challenging you guys and what we're offering you guys is a way to quickly and efficiently communicate to your patients exactly what's going on with their particular health condition, determining the physiological and the biochemical reasons why their particular illness has occurred and what can be done to reverse it. And we want to, again, as you can see, we want to be able to show you how to clearly and concisely recommend what the patient must do to achieve a higher level of health and well-being. Now, one of the topics here is this how you want to practice? Or would you like to practice another way? Meaning that, do you want to be able to be a person considered to be the one-trick pony, the person who has just one tool in their bag? And obviously, that's not what we want. That's not what we're teaching. We want to be able to express to you that there are millions and millions of people right now who are absolutely desperate to find a cure, to find a solution for their health problem. I'm telling you, people are absolutely hungry. They're begging. They're crying. I can't tell you how many times I have to pull out the tissues when people finally sit down with you and see that you have an answer, a real logical answer. But the public out there are begging for answers. They're looking for answers for fibromyalgia, for heart disease, anxiety, and so on and so on. And, you know, I'm a person who likes it. I'm one of these analytical people. I like to do a lot of research. And there's some very, very unique web analytic programs out there, which allows you to determine what are people searching for on the Internet. What are they typing into Google search engine? What are they typing into Yahoo? You know what I found is that people are looking for answers for things like hypertension. Look at the searches. 56, this is in 30 days, 56,000 people typed in the word hypertension. And this doesn't even add up to all the different variations, you know, hypertension cure. I mean, it goes way beyond that. Looking for searches for depression, arthritis, diabetes. And you know what, guys? I'll tell you, and please forgive me for saying this, but I have to be honest with you. There was maybe less than 500 searches for subluxation. And for the naturopathic physicians, there was zilch. There was none. And that concerns me. It really concerns me. And, you know, what we're, you know, we're not saying, you know, I mean, well, let me go back and say this. There's, people are still searching. So there's, the allopathic profession doesn't have an answer. And, you know, as chiropractors, we don't have all the answers, and allopathic medicine doesn't have all the answers. But this new paradigm, functional diagnostic medicine, has more answers. Now, hear me out, has more answers, and has a logical answer. And, Dickon, you know, can you elaborate on, at this point, about the allopathic medical community?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, an important issue here, and I know that there's, you know, going to be some medical doctors out there, allopathic physicians, who are going to be watching this, and we need to be very clear. You know, allopathic medical science, I believe, and I can speak for you too, Ron, is the best for dealing with emergency situations. Believe me, if I'm hit in a car accident, I'm going to go to the emergency room. You know, if I've got an aneurysm that's about to blow, I'm going to go to the emergency room, and I'm going to have the surgery to save my life. But I tell you what, if I'm suffering from debilitating fibromyalgia, or if I'm experiencing hypertension that's out of control, or if I'm overwhelmingly depressed or anxious, or I have agonizing arthritis, I mean, believe me, guys, the list goes on and on and on. Chronic fatigue syndrome, asthma, allergies, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis. The standard allopathic medical approach, and believe me, they only have two things in their tool bags. They have drugs and they have surgery. They do not have an answer for you or for me or for any of our patients who are really suffering from those things. Now, there are going to be a lot of people who buy into the sort of the standard established medical community and think they have the answers. But what Ron just showed you just a few minutes ago, there are millions of people who don't think that they have the answers. And what I tell you what, people are really sick and tired of seeing a doctor. Now, it could be anyone from a chiropractor, a naturopath, nutritionist, or an allopathic physician. They're really sick and tired of sitting down with a doctor, and the doctor hears their symptoms and immediately writes out a prescription. Now, the prescription could be, you know, if you've got acid reflux, take Nexium. If you've got, if you're feeling down, take some St. John's wort. How about, you know, you've got high blood pressure, take Zestrel. People are sick and tired of seeing a physician who is only looking at the symptoms. They want someone to go into their cases in a lot more detail, because if you're treating symptoms, be it with a green supplement or with a drug, this is the epitome of cookbook medicine. And most physicians spending the majority of their time diagnosing and treating symptoms, which, as you know, are the gross appearance of disease. And Ron and I, and what we want to convey to you is that symptoms are really the way the body speaks to you. And it's not the only way the body speaks to you, because the body has many, many different mirrors, the way that it communicates information to you. But one of them is through the symptoms. Symptoms are signals. And if you're treating a symptom, it's just like smashing the brake light that comes on in your automobile. on the dashboard and thinking that you're somehow fixing the brakes. And it doesn't matter if the treatment is a prescriptive drug or some natural supplement or a herb. The focus is still on seeking temporary symptomatic relief and not doing what functional diagnostic medicine does, which is identifying the underlying cause of the illness. Because believe it or not, drugs and surgery and this sort of allopathic approach to green nutrition is not the answer. And it's obvious that there are millions and millions of people who are looking for answers. And the good news for you and for me and for our patients is that we believe functional diagnostic medicine has the answers. A functional diagnostic medicine is the new health model for the 21st century. And I know that's a bold statement, but it's true. Doctors who embrace functional diagnostic medicine are forward-thinking practitioners. And here's the deal here. They ask different questions. They ask different questions about how better to assess the patient and ask different questions about how to treat the chronically ill patient who would otherwise just slip through the cracks of conventional medicine. And these are the people that we're seeing in our practice. Functional diagnostic medicine practitioners don't just treat symptoms. Functional diagnostic medicine practitioners don't just rely on one assessment technique. And that's what Ron was talking about. If you just rely on one technique, if you're just relying on blood testing, as a way to inform you about your patients, I'm sorry, but you're missing out on a huge opportunity to gather more information and process that information in order to come up with the true cause of why your patients are suffering. And lastly, they do not practice cookbook medicine. Functional diagnostic medicine practitioners look at the totality of the patient's experience. They gather information from multiple areas of the body, from history, from a physical exam, from in-office lab, from the urine, from the saliva, from the blood, from advanced lab testing. And they take all that information and process it. And they have a firm belief in what we call the interconnectedness between the different systems of the body. They have a unique understanding of what we call biochemical individuality of each patient. And you know what? Ultimately, the functional diagnostic medicine practitioner thinks outside of the box. And I know it's all very well for us to be talking about this now, so I want to take this opportunity to go through a couple of cases that Dr. Ron Grisanti has put together. And these are true stories of what really happens when you put functional diagnostic medicine to work in your practice. And here's a little caveat, a little warning to you. These cases don't follow a cookbook approach to healing. They're going to really illustrate the thinking process that you must go through with each and every one of your patients. And so you may want to stop the video now if you're just really looking for quick fixes, because Ron's going to go through a couple of cases here. The first one of a patient that had debilitating anxiety, and show you his thinking process about how he approached the case and ultimately how he was able to close the case. So, Ron, I'm going to hand over to you.
Good, thanks. You know, something extremely important, just to springboard as I'm moving into this case, we have patients, I'm talking to the chiropractic community, we have patients who walk in our office. We have a patient, for instance, with anxiety, and you'll see in just a minute the case of the fibromyalgia. And the question is as chiropractors, if all you have in your box, your toolbox, is the adjustment, it doesn't matter if it's Gonstead, it doesn't matter if it's activated, if it's Grostic, whatever the technique is, if it's applied kinesiology, the question is, have you been frustrated? Have you encountered cases where you just could not figure out or help the patient because of the chronicity of the problem or the difficulty of the problem? And I'm going to tell you right now as I go through these two cases that as a practitioner like you who's been in the trenches, I've been extremely frustrated. And I have had times that I have scratched my head and, you know, I cleared the patient out, if you want to call it that. I adjusted them, and they just still did not respond. But I want you to understand, everyone, please, the beauty of what Dickon and I, Dr. Weatherby and I, are discussing, it encompasses the structural component. That is one of the modules that we will be discussing relating to how we put this all together. So this patient, Pat, 74 years old, and this is what's interesting, is back in 2001, Pat was suffering with a number of health challenges, hives, irritability, brain fog, abdominal pain. and she had been to her primary physician, did a complete workup, and as she was told, everything was fine. There was nothing that they could identify that was contributing to, at least in this particular case, no abdominal masses, nothing that would be considered to be lethal or life-threatening. I consulted with Pat, and reviewing her questionnaire, a comprehensive medical questionnaire, functional medicine questionnaire, as well as the medical records, I decided to order a comprehensive candida profile that was ordered at the time from Genova. At that time, it was called Great Smokies. I ordered intestinal permeability, also ordered from Genova. I ordered a mucosal barrier. At that time, I ordered it from Immunosciences, now Neurosciences, and the urine indigan test was ordered from BioHealth. And when the results came back, Pat had a significant dysbiosis, increased intestinal permeability, and an altered mucosal barrier. At that point, I proceeded to outline a step-by-step protocol for Pat. But like it happens, now, by the way, I'm not sure if you guys know this, this was a phone consult. This was a patient long-distance consultation that I worked in working with Pat. Now, what happened was, remember, this all started back, in 2001. So Pat was prescribed a protocol, but she was not compliant. She just did not follow through. So, you know, that happens. That happens. But she was very appreciative, but, you know, and I'm not here, and I'm also telling you guys, you know, we can only do so much. You can't force people. The old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force them to drink. And the thing is that we were able to get some information. But now, watch this now. In 2004, Pat got back in touch with me. Not only was she having some of the same problems, and now she was having full-blown major, major anxiety with panic attacks that just put her to the floor in tears. She was just a nervous wreck. And, you know, she asked me, you know, what could be done, and, you know, she had been to some, she tried some valerian roots, some passion flower. She went to a chiropractor, and please, chiropractors, don't hit me with this, but, you know, this frustrates me. She was put on a chiropractic plan, 24 adjustments, told that it was C1 subluxation that was the main cause of her of anxiety. She didn't get any help at all. Not that it doesn't help, please understand, but again, there's other reasons. None of this helped her. Now, she was then put on a benzodiazepine, Ativan. She was put on Zoloft, and even with the medication, she still had breakthrough anxiety spells, and she was on 3 milligrams. They bumped it up to 4 milligrams, and, you know, she was at her wit's end. I think you know where I'm going with this. Now, what we see here is that one of the key tests, this is extremely important, one of the key tests, especially with patients suffering with anxiety, is you need to order an adrenal stress index. Check the cortisol levels. And lo and behold, as you can see here, look at Pat's cortisol levels, 184. I mean, her cortisol levels in the morning, which, you know what, I was something, this is, she would wake up literally at 6:30 in the morning in a panic. And no wonder. You know, look at her, matter of fact, look at her cortisol levels to the right. You can't even see them. We say off the charts. This is off the charts. And can you see them? And what happens is, she was just in full-blown anxiety from morning to evening. Her body just would not shut down. Worse in the morning, by the way. And one of the first things, as you can see, was phosphatidylserine. How do you say it, Dickon?
Phosphatidylserine.
Thank you for the right pronunciation.
You're welcome.
So what happens is, you know, one of the questions that has to be determined is what is causing her cortisol levels to be so high? I mean, could it be that, she's just in a state of adrenaline surge, you know, from morning to evening? What is causing it? I mean, some people say, did she have a tumor of the adrenal glands, which she did not? What was causing it? You know, so I, you know, fortunately had a wealth of information on Pat going back to 2001. And one of the things that was identified quite clearly was the fact that she had a full-blown candida infection. Not only was it affecting the immunoglobulin A, but the immunoglobulin G, which means that it was widespread systemic. And without getting too technical, there's a wonderful, wonderful book, very boring, by the way, but technically excellent, but I use the word boring because it discusses 30-year history of a Dr. Michael Gershon from Presbyterian Hospital in New York and his research in the relationship of the intestines and psychiatric challenges such as anxiety and depression. Very interesting book, I must say. But what we found is a significant relationship between a functional dysfunction, a dysfunction of the gut and the relationship of anxiety. And there's no need to go into any detail. You can see it's quite evident that Pat had significant widespread candida involvement. And I sent a letter to her primary physician who did recommend Diflucan, as well as me recommending some other natural herbal products. And what's nice about it is look at the follow-up in November 2004, and there was a nice decrease. You can see the cortisol drop down, and at least before it was off the charts. And Pat gradually progressed, made improvement, less breakthroughs. And I was happy to say that this is one of those cases that clearly just had outstanding results. I'd like to go over case number two. Would that be right?
Ron, can I just stop you there just for a sec?
Yeah, sure.
I think one of the things that really impresses me about the approach to this particular case is that, you know, you went through the standard treatments to help relieve the cortisol burden on the body, but you didn't stop there. And I think a lot of physicians who are practicing what we call green allopathic medicine would use something like phosphatidylserine as the way to bring down the cortisol levels. But what a functional diagnostic medicine practitioner does is asks the difficult question, what is causing that cortisol to be elevated? And for you, luckily, you did have the test that you had run on her, so you had a sense of the fact that she did have a mucosal barrier that was out of balance and also had an overgrowth of candida, and was able to make the treatment recommendation to deal with that and had resolution of that. But what I wanted to impress upon everyone is to ask those questions. Don't just treat presumptively with something that you know will relieve the symptoms. And so, anyway, that's what I wanted to say.
No, that's a great point. And, you know, again, that's the key. That's the critical key of determining, you know, specifically what needs to be done. And, you know, again, I need to say, as a chiropractic physician, if you do indeed achieve some level of symptomatic, dampening by adjusting someone or doing some myofascial techniques, doing a massage, whatever it may be, to lessen the adrenaline overload. If the candida issue was not addressed, the patient would have not gotten better. So again, and that's one of the reasons why the cortisol levels were so high. This next case, this is interesting. I won't go into a lot of detail, but I have a newsletter that I've been sending out for a number of years, and this particular patient, Lisa, all the way in Washington State, was one of my subscribers to my newsletter, and she consulted with me and asked if I would be open to treating her. I didn't know what I was getting myself into, and you can see the complexity of this case. When she said she wanted to fly to Greenville, South Carolina from Washington, I said, that's fine. However, before you come, I need to review your medical records. I didn't know it was going to come in a box. And I'm talking about tons of medical records. And this was a case that I must admit was very challenging, but it was very, the word enjoyable may not be the right thing to say, but it definitely tested my ability to put functional medicine to work. Now, as you have read, this particular patient had been suffering with this for over 5 years. She had been to bukus of physicians, many, many different medications, been to acupuncturists, energy medicine practitioners, massage therapists, chiropractors, nutritionists. And just like Dr. Weatherby Dickens just said a minute ago, this particular nutritionist was basically just doing cookbook nutrition, prescribing magnesium, malic acid. I just read an article in one of the chiropractic journals. Some of you guys probably already read it. I don't want to be critical because I think he's a fine practitioner. I think it's Dr. Murphy, I think, who wrote the article. And it was an excellent article. He talked about the benefits of malic acid. And what bothers me about that is, yes, malic acid may be good. Yes, magnesium may be good, but we can't just throw that at the patient and assume that that's going to be the ticket that's going to help the patient. And unfortunately, in Lisa's case, that wasn't the case. When Lisa got to Greenville, she was in a wheelchair. And I said, man, when she wheeled her in, you know, she was all smiles and everything, but she was not a happy camper. And, you know, when I sat her down, I at that time had the opportunity to really do my due diligence and review everything. And this is where I had to put my CSI thinking cap on prior to her coming in. And what I picked up from all her medical records and everything that I reviewed was the issues of cortisol DHEA depletion, significant depression of SIG-A, GI compromise, compromised detoxification, fatty issue. These were some of the things that I was suspicious about. And I need to say something. I tell this to my patients just like I did a consult today. When a patient walks in your office, or walks in any physician's office, and they say, I'm thirsty all the time and have to urinate all the time. The first thing we think of many times is diabetes. But any competent physician is not just going to prescribe metformin or insulin. They're going to run the appropriate test to confirm their subjective findings and make sure it matches the objective findings. And that's what my suspicions were. I had some strong suspicions, but I had to objectify it. And that's what we did. And some of the first testing we did, or I did in this particular case, was the adrenal cortisol levels. And you could see, I mean, this was very, very alarming to me. Her cortisol levels were down to 12. And which meant that her body's ability to just rise for the occasion was really compromised. And you could see from the graph right here that cortisol and DHEA play a major role in many different functions in the body. And what I wanted to be sure of is not just jumping on the one test, but I had to really dig deeper, and I had to determine if there was any compromise, as you can see, of the GI function, and a GI panel was done. And you'll see that prior to her coming in, this is what baffled me. A doctor actually started working with her and picked up an intestinal SIG-A of 95, which was really, really, really low. And this was then supported with a follow-up test that I did. The SIG-A was down to 10. This was a saliva test, 10, and then the fecal test was 95. So both of them reinforced each other, both done by different tests. And, you know, what this showed is that she indeed had a compromise of the mucosal barrier, and this is explained quite well in the paragraph here. And one thing that concerned me was this compromise of the mucosal barrier created a challenge. Now, listen to me carefully now. This created a challenge because we have heard the word leaky gut syndrome, and many of us have heard about it, but when you actually see it on black and white, it becomes a reality, and it not only becomes a reality to you, but it becomes a reality to the patient. I'm going to be quite bold in saying this. People are convinced by test, black and white. I'm going to say it again. People are convinced by test. People accept testing. They understand that that is the norm. And when someone sees it in black and white, they accept it. And the compliance is beyond comprehension. And I don't mean to go off on a tangent there, but I have to say that. I'm not being critical of muscle testing. If you do muscle testing, hey, do muscle testing. But back it up and do some testing objectively that the patient can see with their own eyes. And again, we're not throwing out things. We want to add things. Now, in this particular case, one of the issues of leaky gut and increased permeability of the gut was the issue of, did she have any compromise of the nutritional components? And a beautiful test is the urine organic acid. What it does, it really gets down to the biochemical glitches. It's an innovative test that really can crack the breakdown of nutritional deficiencies. Instead of it being black and white, now hear me out here, instead of it being black and white, what we're looking for is a deeper level to really identify detoxification issues, nutritional deficiencies. And please understand, we're looking for a way to efficiently, underline the word efficiently. We're looking for a way to efficiently evaluate a number of different components. And this one test was the test that I chose. And as you can see, I'm not going to go through all the big $10 words, but as you can see, these tests were extremely valuable to identify dysbiosis, to identify intestinal bacteria overgrowth. These tests were valuable for identifying the significant relationship of antioxidant reserves. Look how depleted she was. Man, I mean, it was bottomed out. I mean, this is scary stuff here. And, you know, one of the most important tests when it comes to determine B12 deficiency is not the serum B12. It's the methylmalonate test and the high homocysteine. Couldn't be clearer than that, that she was significantly low in B12. And then another test we did was a fatty acid test. Look at omega-3s, bottomed out. And you know what? If you want something that really irks me, and probably some of you guys probably get irked too, you know, everywhere we turn now, everyone's jumping on the bandwagon. Everything's omega-3 this, omega-3 that, omega-3 in eggs, omega-3 in cereals. But you know what? That doesn't cut it. Because it just so happened in Lisa's case, yes, she was low in omega-3. But we have to look at omega-6. We have to look at saturated fats. We have to look at other things. We have to look at the amount of trans fats in a person's body. That's the beauty of the fatty acid test. And again, this was a test that was done. So when you're looking, you can't just do a knee jerk and say, I'm going to put everyone on fish oils, omega-3. This patient may need omega-6. You know, they may need some saturated fats, good saturated fats, like coconut oil. So what the point is that in this particular case, it was omega-3. But again, don't assume. So moving on to some of the other testing, these were simply reinforcements. It just became clearer and clearer as I moved down the pike that I was on target with this particular case. And based on all the information that I was able to gather, I was able to put together a carefully executed treatment that was easy to implement for Lisa. Now, hear what I said, easy to implement. I do this in baby steps. You can't just overwhelm the patient. You have to kind of say, okay, now what's the first thing that we need to do for this particular patient? In this case, we wanted to do what we can to support the adrenal glands, but we had other issues that we wanted to tackle. And I just want to say that this was a very, very challenging case, a very trying case, but the patient made a remarkable improvement. And I just want to just emphasize that it can be done no matter how difficult the cases are. Dick, any comments on that?
No, I think that's very clear. And I think the thing, again, to impress upon is you're using these lab tests and gathering information so that you can process it in a way that allows you to come up with a treatment plan that is highly individualized to the specific patient and is designed to address the biochemical and the metabolic glitches that are uncovered through the testing.
Yes.
And I think it's very clear what you do here. And I think case closed is a wonderful thing to be able to put on a case.
Sure.
And to be able to actually graduate your patients. You know, I know that there are situations when I consult with physicians and, you know, I ask them this question, what criteria do you use to graduate your patients? And there's usually a bit of a silence on the end of the phone because they typically don't. I mean, most physicians that I work with, patients oftentimes get well, and that's great, and then they don't come back. But a lot of times the patient runs out of money, and that's what determines the end of their care. And with functional diagnostic medicine, hey guys, get ready. You're going to be holding graduation parties. Your patients are going to be graduating from what we call conditioned care, meaning I come in with fibromyalgia and that's what's being worked on. Even in the terms of functional diagnostic medicine, we're opening up the criteria, so we're not really treating fibromyalgia. What we're really treating is the underlying cause of a myriad of signs and symptoms that have been collectively called fibromyalgia. But it's an opportunity with functional diagnostic medicine, I think, to enter into this whole concept of maintenance care. And I know, Ron, in chiropractic medicine, they talk about maintenance care. I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about that.
You know, it's interesting that this whole thing with maintenance, this is exciting, guys. Again, I'm talking to my chiropractic colleagues out there. What's exciting about it is this. I don't, you know, when we deal with neuromusculoskeletal problems, and please, unless you've had a uniquely different practice than I have for 27 years, I'm going to say that the bulk majority of chiropractors are treating cervical, lumbar problems, and if you do sports medicine, you might be treating shoulders and other extremities. But the bulk is going to be neck problems and back problems. That's where chiropractors have been labeled. And what's interesting about this is we have this thing where, you know, once a patient has reached they're balanced out or symptomatically improved, we have this thing called maintenance where we want patients to be checked periodically. Is that right or wrong? Well, you know what? There is definitely a criteria for ongoing care to maintain a patient's well-being. But you know what's exciting about this? With functional diagnostic medicine, it's the first time ever in my 27 years where patients are coming up to me and they're asking, when can I get retested again? When could this be rechecked again? Yes, I've had patients come in and says, when can I get my spine checked? But not the multitudes of patients. I mean, I could say to you that the majority, now if you could do this, I would challenge every single person now to go through their patient list and look at how many patients over the last 10 years are still coming in to see them for maintenance. Now, if you could say that you're over 30% or 40%, I have more power to you. But I can tell you that a lot of chiropractors are probably saying that I turn over, I have a new practice every 90 days. Yes, there's patients who are coming in. But you know what the beauty of functional medicine is? 70 to 80% of my patients are still seeing me. Now, some people go, well, Dickon just said you graduated. Yes, you've graduated, but some of these conditions, patients, you want to follow up with them. When you have life-threatening conditions like diabetes, hypertension, people with lupus, people with rheumatoid, you want to follow up with these patients. They may need to be in 6 months, a year, to run another test to make sure that some of the physiological and biochemical glitches are still under control. And that's the beauty of the maintenance. And you don't want to know something? Patients who are coming in for functional medicine are also understanding for the first time the aspect of structural integrity as well as biochemical and physiological integrity. And talk about the power of building up the ultimate waiting list or the ultimate maintenance practice. This is it in a nutshell.